Candace felt like a ghost. It had already been 3 weeks since she started going to Ridgemont, and so far, there didn't seem to be any way into any of the established friend groups. Everyone belonged to a clique, and she found herself on the outside, looking in. Moving out of the city was hard for someone who had grown up there her whole life. The challenges of being the new girl added to the chaos of it all. Her dad packed up the family and moved to a small town upstate after the company he was working for downsized. It was either quit and lose the stability and benefits he'd been saving for half his life or relocate. Candace was old enough to understand, but it didn't make the move any less stressful. She had one last teary-eyed hurrah with her friends and promised to write and visit during summer break. Candace was pretty torn up about it, but she made a point not to let it show. The last thing she wanted to do was to tack on stressed out and depressed to her new girl persona amongst her new peers. She sat alone at the back of the cafeteria, sipping on a carton of 2% milk. She was making a mental note of a hairstyle she saw on a few girls at the popular table, and imagining what it would look like on her. "I'd be trying too hard," she thought. Candace blew a large, bright pink bubble with the gum she was chewing. The table of girls disappeared from view, and then the bubble popped. She jumped, startled by the fork sitting a few inches from her face. Her gum was wrapped around its points. The guy sitting in front of her, holding the fork, was Tommy. Everyone knew Tommy. Not from sports, theater, or anything academic, but from his reputation as someone you don't want to get involved with. Candace thought he was cute, but she also knew being seen with him wasn't good for her reputation, or lack thereof. Tommy pulled the fork away from her, along with the bubblegum. He scraped it on her tray, wiped it with his napkin, then used it to take a bite of mashed potatoes. "Ew," Candace said. "That's not very nice," Tommy replied. Candace looked at him, astounded. "Not very nice," she said, "coming from the guy who nearly poked my eye out with a fork popping my bubble?" He took another bite of mashed potatoes and stared at her. Part of her was disgusted, and part of her was ecstatic that someone was sitting and talking with her, even if it was Tommy. "I've done grosser things," he said between chews. "Oh yeah, like what?" Candace asked. He leaned in, shifting his eyes from left to right. Candace watched as he rolled his eyes, motioning for her to lean in too. "You know Mr. Davis got tripped out on acid last week? Somebody put it in his coffee," he whispered. Candace's eyes widened, and she leaned back. "That was you?" she asked. "Shh," Tommy whispered. Then he nodded and smiled while scooping another blob of mashed potatoes into his mouth. "I wouldn't really call that disgusting," Candace said. "More so just reckless and dumb. And kind of mean." Tommy leaned in again and whispered, "Trust me, that asshole had it coming." Candace noticed one of the girls at the popular table pointing at them and whispering to the girl next to her. Instinctively, she ducked down behind Tommy. Tommy looked over his shoulder at the girls. They laughed at some joke that was clearly at Tommy's or Candace's expense, and Tommy flashed them a casual middle finger. "What are you doing?" Candace whispered. Tommy took a bite of the apple on his tray and shrugged. "What, those broads? They're all Richie Goody Two-Shoes up front and kick you while you're down behind everyone's back. You don't need to waste your time with them. You're too good for them anyway." Candace blushed. Tommy had made her feel both embarrassed and flattered. "In case you haven't noticed, I haven't made many friends since I started going here," Candace said. Tommy looked playfully hurt. "Well, has anyone taken the time to come up and say hi like yours truly?" He waved his fork in front of him like a valiant knight. "Certainly not anyone as good-looking as me," Candace smirked and blushed again. "Sorry," she said. "You just had a bit of an abrasive entrance, and it kind of threw me off." "I have been told I am rough around the edges on more than one occasion," he replied, taking another bite of his apple. "Look, a couple of the guys and me are going out to Shady's later, and if you want, I can come pick you up." Candace was shocked. She hadn't been asked out on a date since grade school, and that didn't really count in her book. Not only was her first social interaction at her new school with one of the last people she expected, but that person also wanted to take her on a date. Tommy attempted to snap her out of her shock. "You still with me? Candace, she said. Candace, he repeated. What's Shady's? She asked.
What's Shady's? Tommy said in disbelief.
That's right, you're an out-of-townie. How about we just make it a surprise? I'll pick you up around 7?
Yeah, sure,
she said, not really believing the words that came out of her mouth. Do I just do smoke signals, or will you be shining a spotlight, or... Tommy asked, grinning. Candace ripped out a piece of notebook paper, wrote her address on it, and slid it to Tommy. He stuffed it into the inside pocket of his leather jacket and stood up.
Look, I don't want to do the whole meet your parents thing, he said. How about you just start walking down the block close to 7 and I'll swing by and pick you up?
Candace also didn't want that meeting and agreed.
Sounds good. I'll be ready. Should I wear...
Tommy looked at her with a who cares expression and said, wear whatever you want. Candace watched him stick his tongue out at the popular table as he walked off. Their whispers and side glances felt like laser beams shooting in her direction. She smiled softly and waved at them. The table erupted with laughter. Candace's parents were thrilled to hear that she'd be going out with a new friend. She may have rearranged a few of the details, but she was happy that they were happy. 7 o'clock came around, and she was halfway down her block when she heard a motorcycle coming up the street from behind her. It got louder, and to her surprise, the driver drove right onto the sidewalk in front of her. Candace stopped. She already knew who was under the helmet before he turned around to look at her. Candace looked around, frantically, to ensure none of her neighbors were watching the scene. She approached Tommy quickly and said, "Can you get back on the road? Jesus!" Tommy shrugged, turned off his motorcycle, and bounced it off the curb back to the road.
"I've never ridden on a motorcycle before," Candace said.
"It's easy," Tommy replied, handing her a helmet that had been dangling from one of his handlebars. "You just sit and hold on tight." He helped her secure the helmet and she got on. She noticed the design on the back of his leather jacket. 3 circles looping through each other, making a U. Inside the circles, there was a leaf, a flame, and a red drop of fluid. In the center of the U, there was an open hand that had a spiral in the palm. Before she had time to ask him about it, he kicked on the motorcycle and sped off. Candace held on tightly as her neighborhood passed by in a blur. Tommy eventually sped by their high school on the edge of town. He banked left, down a dirt road. Candace, not realizing they were going to be going off the actual road, jumped and held Tommy tighter. It was much darker, with the trees overhead shading their way. Ahead, in the distance, Candace started to see neon lights flickering through the trees. Tommy's motorcycle roared as they hit a dip in the road. She squeezed her arms around him tighter. He seemed unfazed by the dip, and she pushed her helmet into his back. The path smoothed out a bit, and Candace leaned away from Tommy. She saw more of the light behind the trees up ahead. When the path they were careening down opened up to reveal a diner, Candace felt like she was peering back in time. The neon light she'd seen through the trees was from a large neon sign mounted on the front of it. Written in bright pink and blue cursive, shined Shady's. Its light bounced off the trees around the diner and onto the cars and motorcycles in the parking lot. Those vehicles looked just as frozen in time as the diner itself. A handful of old motorcycles from the late 1940s and 1950s sat in a row by the steps leading up to the doors. 3 matte black hot rods were parked next to each other in the lot as well, along with a sprinkle of other regular cars from that era. With the light of the neon sign, Candace could see swirling white symbols painted along the edges of the hot rods. They had designs on their hoods, similar to the one on the back of Tommy's jacket. Candace thought there was something dark about those cars. Their shape and the way the light reflected off of them felt unnatural to her. They rode up to the row of motorcycles, dismounted, and took their helmets off. Tommy's motorcycle was much more modern. It looked odd sitting next to the classic ones. It was eerily quiet. There were no sounds from the distant road or sounds from inside the diner. Just the chattering forest around them. Candace nodded toward the hot rods.
"Those your friends?" she asked.
"Something like that," he replied. Tommy turned and started to walk up the steps to the diner. Candace followed. She thought the diner looked like a place you'd see in an old movie, something that would have existed decades ago. Neon lights were wrapped around the top. The outside walls were reflective silver panels. She could see a warped version of herself in them, like a funhouse mirror, as they ascended the steps. There were a few round, black, basketball-sized windows along the front. They looked like voids to her. The light that reflected off of the silver panels didn't seem to reflect off of them, and no light from the inside could be seen through them either. Candace was starting to feel uneasy. Tommy turned and put a hand on her shoulder. "This place don't bite. Well, not if you're with me, it won't." He laughed. Candace didn't. "Seriously, though," he continued, "don't sweat. The inside's not as spooky as the outside, neither." A rush of cold air hit Candace in the face as Tommy pulled open the tall steel doors of the diner. To her surprise, he was right. The inside didn't seem as menacing as the outside. Large spherical lights hung above the bar of the diner, casting an orange glow. Black and white tiles stretched across the floor in a checkerboard pattern from wall to wall. Booths with benches that had smooth baby blue and pink leather lined the diner's edges. They matched the stools at the bar. There were an array of different things nailed to the walls as decorations. Records, road signs, pieces of cars, license plates, and both soda and gasoline advertisements. No one seemed to notice them when they walked in. For once, Candace was relieved by that. A few people sat at the bar sipping milkshakes and sodas and talking with one another. The others sitting at the booths were eating diner food and talking loudly over the music. The neon-lit jukebox in the corner was playing a song Candace didn't recognize, but she thought it certainly fit the time vortex she and Tommy had just stepped into. The style, the fashion, the music, and the atmosphere confused Candace. "Is this like a meetup for people who are into this sort of stuff?" she asked. "Like, are all these people wanting to live like their parents, or I don't know, I guess I'm just, I didn't think we were going to be coming to some kind of convention." "Nah, it ain't like that," Tommy replied. "I know it seems weird, but..." Someone across the diner yelled out, "Tommy! Yo, Tommy!" Tommy scanned the tables and found the table where the shouts were coming from. He waved, then made a hand gesture at Candace to follow him. They walked, and Candace took more of the diner in. "Whatever this place is," she thought, "they have an excruciating eye for detail." After high school, Candace planned to go to college to study design. She didn't know exactly what she wanted to do with a degree like that, but she liked the idea of being an art director or designer for theater. During her freshman and sophomore years at her old high school, she was part of the theater department and helped them with several productions that took place during different time periods. She was familiar with the style and aesthetic of her parents' generation. She'd studied it and knew what it took to make a believable theater production of it. They reached the table they were headed toward, and the theater production continued. Four men, a few years older than Tommy and Candace, were seated there. One of them was biting into a cheeseburger. Another was combing his hair and checking his reflection with a spoon. The third was talking to, or at, rather, the one eating the cheeseburger, and the fourth was turned around in the booth, staring at them as they approached. Now that they were closer, Candace could see the brand mark on his face, just under his left eye. It was of the three circles, looping through each other, making a U, just like the ones on the back of Tommy's jacket. He realized Candace was with Tommy, looked her up and down, and smiled. "Hey, she's with me, all right? She's fine," Tommy assured him. He continued to stare. The guy next to the one that was staring at them turned to look, as did the other two across the booth. Candace's cheeks flushed, and she waved. Everyone around her felt out of place, out of time, but she found herself embarrassed. Tommy broke the tension. "You just gonna stare, or you gonna scoot down and let us in?" Candace realized that the booth did appear to be able to comfortably seat six, but was hesitant to take a seat. "I told you this place don't bite if you're with me," Tommy assured her again, and snapped his eyes over to his comrades with a look as if to say, knock it off. They stopped staring and made room for them. Candace noticed their leather jackets. They all bore the circles, with symbols in the middle of them, just like Tommy's.
Are you guys in a gang, or...
Candace immediately regretted her question. The other three of Tommy's friends at the booth went back to their previous activities, but the one that shouted for him when they walked in answered her,
"This ain't a gang, sweetheart."
He looked at Tommy and raised an eyebrow. Then he looked back at Candace. His dark brown eyes looked into her soul, and the neon lights along the edge of the ceiling shimmered off his jet-black hair.
"We might dress the part, but trust me, we're a lot more than jackets, hot rods, and switchblades."
He produced a switchblade from his inside jacket pocket. Candace's eyes widened as he flicked it open to reveal a comb. She let out a sigh of relief. He looked at Tommy, combing his hair, and asked,
"Why'd you bring her here? What's the..."
His question was cut short by the waitress that appeared at the end of their table. Candace heard her ask,
"Can I get you anything, sweetie?"
She turned to look up at her, and as she did, she froze with horror. Under the blonde hair pulled up by a polka dot bandana was a bubbling, melting face. Pieces of it were dripping onto her apron and small notepad. The music felt muffled and distant, and the neon glow of the overhead lights felt blinding. Candace wanted to scream, but she couldn't. The cool air of the diner started to feel hot. Her skin started to tingle. The red, lidless eyes of the waitress stared down at her as more of her face melted onto her pink dress and white apron. It bubbled, and Candace could smell charred, burning flesh. Smoke started to pour from her mouth. Candace closed her eyes.
"This is only a dream," she thought. "A nightmare. I fell asleep before Tommy picked me up, and I'm having a nightmare."
Candace heard screams and clenched her eyes tighter. Then she felt Tommy's hand on top of hers. She opened her eyes, and he looked into them.
"You okay?"
he asked. The music sounded normal again, and the oppressive glare of the lights had faded. Candace looked back up at the waitress. She was fully intact, bright red lipstick and blue eyeshadow. No dripping, bubbling skin. No red eyes and no smoke. Her expression was polite, but she was growing impatient.
"Are you going to order anything, darling?"
"No," Candace said. "No, I'm okay, thanks."
The waitress nodded, then looked at Tommy.
"I'll have 2 pieces of pecan pie,"
he said, then looked at Candace and said,
"You gotta try their pie."
Candace had lost her appetite and was starting to think she was losing her mind. No one else seemed to notice what she'd seen. The guy with the cheeseburger in their booth had finished it and was running a toothpick between his teeth. She looked at the guy sitting next to Tommy again. He was swirling a spoon around a cup of coffee. Then he nudged Tommy with his elbow.
"She looks like a goody-goody," he said.
"Nah, Pop, she's straight,"
Tommy replied.
"Pops?"
Candace asked, confused. She wiped her eyes and tried to recover from the vision she'd just had.
"Yeah," Tommy said with a tinge of nervousness in his voice. "It's just a nickname. We all got 'em. Well, except for me, I just go by Tommy. This here's Pops."
He nodded toward the guy sitting next to him. Then he nodded to the other three, introducing them with each nod.
"Bones, Wizard, and last but not least, Brains."
"Oh, screw you, Tommy,"
Brains barked.
"Last but not least, what do I look like to you? Some last place punk with a goddamn, shut up."
Candace was still feeling overwhelmed. She wanted to leave.
"It's nice to meet all of you, really," she said, then looked at Tommy with urgency.
"But I think we should go, Tommy."
2 plates clanked on the table with their pieces of pie. Candace didn't look up.
"Thanks,"
Tommy said, then handed Candace a fork.
"Come on, just try it."
Candace stared at the pie. It did look delicious. She figured she'd humor him and take a bite. At first, it was sweet. The crust melted in her mouth and the pecans were perfect. Not too hard, not too soft. Then it started to taste bitter. The smooth silkiness turned gritty. Candace stopped chewing. She opened her mouth and chunks of strangely charred material dropped onto her plate next to the slice of pie.
She looked up at Tommy, not yet knowing if what she was experiencing was real or not. He didn't seem to notice the charred black bits falling out of her mouth and oozing down her chin. Pops was staring at her, smiling playfully. Candace wondered if he could see what was happening. She grabbed a napkin and wiped her chin and spat the rest of the charred grit into it. Pops leaned in and whispered to Candace,
"You want the others to like you, don't you?"
His eyes flashed white and then returned to brown. He continued,
"There's a lot more to life than making friends at school, Candace."
He pushed his coffee cup toward her, and the liquid inside started to glow. His eyes slowly moved toward it, beckoning her to look as well. The brown liquid in the cup was swirling. There were speckles of white light all around the swirl. Slowly, the brown got darker and darker, until it was black. The lights got brighter and more intense. Small lights and large lights. Stars swirled in a void. Candace's eyes were locked on the swirl. There was something hypnotizing and beautiful about it. Eventually, that's all she saw. Everything around her went dark, except for the swirling stars. She felt like she was out in the void of space. One of the stars floated in front of her, then stopped. Candace could feel its warmth. She wanted to reach out and touch it. The light of the star intensified. It burst into fiery reds and oranges. The heat coming off of it was almost too much for her to bear. Then, slowly, the flame started to fade, and its amorphous, shifting form started to solidify. The edges became smooth and curved. They went to a point at the top, and there was a stem at its base. Candace realized that the flame had turned into a leaf. It floated in an unseen cosmic breeze around her, and soon the other stars followed. She floated downward, and red and orange leaves cascaded all around her. She felt like a soft, delicate leaf herself, falling with the others. Then she felt rain. It was just a mist at first, but it shifted to a downpour quickly. The leaves that were falling around her were beginning to fall apart. They were dematerializing into drops of water. She was soaking wet and falling very quickly. The reds and oranges of the disintegrating leaves were a blur. She splashed into a red vortex. It was swirling like a draining bathtub, pulling her down. Candace tried to resist, but the current was too strong. It sucked her under and filled her lungs. She opened her eyes, and all she could see was red. Slowly, the red faded, and the sound of the rushing red liquid was replaced with an echoing tink, tink, tink. It was Pop's spoon hitting the sides of his coffee cup. The echoes stopped, and Candace's vision returned. She took a deep breath and watched the coffee go around and around in the cup. Pops pulled a spoon from the cup and held it in the air. It had pulled up coffee in it, and he was sloshing it over the sides into the cup. His smile was gone, and he looked at her gravely. The other three, and Tommy, were all staring at her.
"We need you, Candace," Pops said. "I don't think you know how much we need you."
He dropped the spoon and grabbed Candace's hand. Candace, surprised, tried to pull away from him.
"Pops, no, what are you doing?"
Tommy cried. Pops smacked Tommy out of the booth and onto the floor with his free hand. The guy sitting next to her, Bones, grabbed her by the shoulders and kept her from getting up. She shouted,
"Help! Help! These guys are out of their minds!"
But no one in the diner seemed to notice her cries. Candace looked around frantically. Everything was blurred and moving slowly. The music sounded wobbly and warped. She looked back at Pops and the others sitting at the booth. Their eyes were solid white and glowing. They opened their mouths and light poured out. It mingled with the blinding neon of the diner. Then, all at once, they shot it at her. The light flowed through the air like ink through water and swirled into her mouth. She felt it going down her throat and up her nose into her brain. It felt electric and painful. Just then, Tommy came to on the floor. He stood up and jerked Candace up from the booth and away from the lights.
"Stop, you assholes!" he shouted.
Candace fell limp into Tommy.
"We need her,"
Pops replied with an echoing authority. Candace woke up, coughing and gagging. Tommy patted her on the back, hard, and she coughed into his chest. Still supporting her, he looked down and saw she had coughed up a bit of blood onto his jacket. The eyes of the men in the booth were still glowing and light was flickering in their mouths. The blurred forms in the diner came to a complete stop. Flames began to crawl up the walls all around them. The music stretched out and distorted even more. Pops started to laugh, and the others joined in. Then Pops cocked his head sideways, completely horizontally, in an unnatural, inhuman way.
"Looks like date night's cut short, Tommy,"
he said in a voice that was now deeper and more menacing. The flames intensified. Candace started to wake up. She looked around at the flames that were engulfing the diner. They had reached the ceiling. Paint was bubbling, wood was cracking and splitting, the neon lights were sparking, and everything was falling apart. The low drone of the music crackled and skipped. The laughter of the men in the booth got louder and louder. Candace pushed herself away from Tommy.
"We gotta get the hell out of here."
She ran to the doors of the diner, narrowly avoiding the flaming pieces of the falling ceiling. The smoke was thick, and she could feel it filling her lungs as she ran. She got to the diner doors and shoved her weight into them, but they didn't budge. She tried again, but again, they wouldn't move an inch. Candace was sweating from the heat, and her skin was starting to burn. The smoke was making it impossible to breathe. She threw her weight against the doors again. Still, nothing. Hopelessness washed over her, and she screamed. Tears rolled down her cheeks, and the laughter from the men at the booth, mixed with the cracking wood, crescendoed all around her. She looked up and saw a beam from the ceiling of the diner fall. Candace closed her eyes, and her body got tense, bracing for impact. Everything felt like it was swelling. The flames, the laughter, the music, and the roof falling down on her felt like a bomb about to go off. Then, it all stopped. Everything was silent. Candace's eyes snapped open. She was breathing heavily. It was dark. She felt her arms and was relieved to feel that her skin was smooth and untouched by the flames that surrounded her moments ago. The cacophony of sounds was replaced by the soft atmosphere of the forest that she'd heard when they arrived at the diner. The doors of the diner that were in front of her were gone. Moonlight shone on the only vehicle parked in the diner's overgrown lot, Tommy's motorcycle. Candace looked up and saw a blanket of stars. A few rogue pieces of wood jutted from the edges of the cavity that was once the diner's ceiling. What she could see of the walls in the darkness was black and looked charred. Some of the black and white checkered tile floor was there, but large chunks of it were missing or covered with debris. Tommy startled her by flipping his Zippo lighter. He was standing right next to her, and she saw his face in the flickering flame.
I'm so sorry, he said.
What the fuck was that, Tommy?
Candace asked, in a whisper. She was wondering if Tommy had dosed her at some point in the night with acid or some other psychedelic. Candace felt weak and stumbled forward. Tommy caught her by the elbow before she fell.
Just sit for a sec, he said as he walked her to the steps that led down to the parking lot. Is this a dream?
She asked as she closed her eyes and shook her head. Her ears were starting to ring, and she felt tension in her forehead. She pushed her fingers into her temples and took a few deep breaths.
That wasn't supposed to happen, Tommy said.
Those guys, you weren't supposed to... Oh, fuck. I wanted you to meet them. They're not bad guys. They just...
They're not bad guys? Candace said in disbelief.
There's some kind of demon cult gang, and they tried to possess me or suck my life force. And they're not bad guys? What are your actual qualifications for a good guy? Because to me, they were pretty fucking bad, Tommy. And you. She stood up and pointed down at him. You're wearing that stupid jacket and you brought me here so they could do whatever it is they did. Or is this some sick game? You get me all hopped up on acid just like Mr. Davis. Then you take me out here and play tricks on me. Or what? Take advantage of me? What the fuck, Tommy? This date. Date. This is over. I'll walk home. Candace stood up and started to walk down the steps. Tommy yelled after her. Candace, it ain't like that. She kept walking. Tommy yelled again. Candace! Pops is my dad. Candace stopped and turned around with a disgusted look on her face. She rolled her eyes. Tommy went down a few of the steps, closer to her. Really? He said. Candace turned again and started to walk. Without looking back, she said, Yeah, you're dad, and I'm the queen of... The searing pain she'd felt in her head returned, and she fell forward. Tommy rushed to catch her before she fell down the remaining steps. He sat her head on his lap and lightly tapped her cheek. Just breathe, he said. To Candace, the moon and the stars overhead swirled like the light in Pop's cup of coffee. Eventually, they stabilized, and she sat up. I didn't dose you, Tommy said, and those guys really were real. Well, kind of. They used to be real. Real, real. Now they're kind of like ghosts, only it's hard to explain. I thought they were good guys, I really did, but tonight they, well... Candace looked at him. She could tell, even in the moonlight, that he was genuinely confused and concerned. Pops, she began. Pops is your dad? Tommy nodded. And they're ghosts? He nodded again. He took off his jacket and draped it across his knees. The white circles and elemental symbols inside of them shone brightly in the moonlight against the dark leather. This was one of my dad's spare jackets, Tommy said. It's one of the only things I got from him. Growing up, I always wanted to know about him. Nobody would tell me nothing, though. After the fire, my mom split, and I jumped from home to home until I landed in one that put up with my bullshit. Once I got old enough, they told me what happened, and gave me this. But that wasn't good enough for me. I needed more. Eventually, I figured out where this place was. He nodded his head toward the dilapidated shell of a diner behind them. I started riding my bike out here some years back. It was calm and felt like somewhere I could go to be with my thoughts. Somewhere that didn't feel so confusing, you know? Candace did know. Back in her old town, she too had a patch of woods she would frequent when life felt like it was too much. Her sanctuary. Compared to the childhood Tommy was explaining, though, she felt her struggles paled in comparison. He continued, I started spending more and more time out here. I remember one summer I damn near spent every day out here. Then, one night, I was on my way out and I saw something I'd never seen before, through the trees. I saw lights where there shouldn't have been lights. I had a moped by that point and I pulled the throttle all the way back, couldn't get here fast enough. When I came to the opening in the road, I saw, well, I saw what we saw tonight. When I came in the first time, there was just one guy sitting in there at a booth, sipping a milkshake and listening to the jukebox. A guy in a leather jacket like mine. Pops. What happened to him? To all of them? Candace asked. Tommy slid his jacket back on, pulled out a cigarette, and lit it. People around here didn't like him, or his friends. They were in a gang, but it was more than that. From what my dad's told me, they were into spirits and something called elemental magic. I don't fully understand it all. Pops has tried to explain some of it, but he only shows me pieces and fragments of what it is. Well, needless to say, there were a lot of other people that didn't understand it neither. And you know what they say, people always fear what they don't understand. My pops and his crew knew that, and I can't say they didn't use that fact to their advantage sometimes. They'd fuck with other gangs, pull pranks, and leaned into their biker necromancer personas. Some of it was for show, but they were really into that stuff. It wasn't just a game for them. Anyway, enough people got upset that they decided to do something about Pops and his friends. He looked back at the diner. Candace's eyes widened.
They burned them?
Candace asked.
Burned them alive,
Tommy replied.
Look, Tommy, no offense, but
Candace looked down at her feet.
If they were half as vile as they were tonight when they were alive, I'd say something probably had to have been done. I don't think killing them was the solution, but...
Tommy cut her off.
They weren't like that when they were alive,
Tommy shouted. There was silence for a moment. Then he continued.
They didn't get into that stuff for the wrong reasons. Sure, they scared people sometimes, but only other gangs and people who tried to fuck with them. Any other time, they respected what they were messing with. But like I said, people didn't like it. They didn't understand it. They knew Pops and his gang liked to hang out here. It was kind of their spot. One night, there was a goddamn witch hunt. That shit didn't die out in the 1600s. Pops and his friends were inside, and the angry mob showed up with their torches and pitchforks. They barred the front and back doors and lit it up. And if that wasn't bad enough, some of the workers and other people who weren't even with my dad were in there. They burned up with him.
Candace heard screams in her head again. She felt the subtle heat of the flames tickle her skin.
The forces they were messing with, Tommy said, kept them from going to the other side. They were dialed into this dimension, I guess you could say, like a radio. Usually when you die, the transmission gets cut and the signal gets lost, but not for them. Pops and the rest of them stuck around. Their signals stayed dialed in, but they're stuck here, at the diner, tethered here like lost souls or something.
Candace looked at him, confused.
Why don't they just sever their ties, move on, and leave? End the transmission, she asked.
Tommy took another drag from his cigarette. I've looked into the things they were studying. I got a library card and I've been to some witchy bookshops to find what I was looking for. This elemental spirit stuff, it's all about balance. It's all about a give and take, a push and pull. I honestly think Pops and his friends want to go, but they can't. They used to be, well, more calm out here. Used to be more at peace. But as time went on, there's been a darkness that started to bubble to the surface. They've played tricks on me before, but nothing like tonight. This was just mean. And I think they're fed up with being here, or something else has taken control, or I don't know.
Why'd you bring me out here, Tommy?
Candace asked.
Tommy didn't know what to say. I kind of just wanted you to meet my dad. I swear I didn't think he'd pull anything like this. They can be assholes, but I never thought they'd do something like this. I'm sorry.
Candace didn't know how to feel. It was all so much to take in. Her date wanted to introduce her to his father. His dead father. And he and his friends wanted to scare her or use her in some kind of cosmic balancing game. She was trying to figure out where she fit into all of this and why Pops had said they needed her. Her head started to spin again.
Look, it's starting to get late, and I gotta get you home,
Tommy said.
Hold on to me tight, and if I feel your grip start slipping even a little, I'll pull over.
He slipped the helmet onto her head and helped her onto the back of his motorcycle. They only had to stop once on their way back. Tommy pulled up halfway down her block and turned his motorcycle off. Candace got off and handed him the helmet. She looked tired.
This was one hell of a first date, huh?
Tommy asked. Candace closed her eyes and sighed.
Tommy, she said, you actually seem really nice, but this was one of the worst nights of my life.
He looked down at his handlebars. Ashamed.
But thanks for making sure I made it out of there in one piece, she said. See you tomorrow?
Tommy asked.
Same table?
Candace nodded and walked to her house. Tommy made sure she made it inside before he drove off into the night.
Candace was relieved to see her parents in the living room, engrossed in a movie. Her mother called into the front room when they heard the door open and close. "Have fun out there with your new friend?" Candace replied, trying to sound as natural as she could. "Yeah, we had a great time, just went around town a little bit." "That's nice, sweetie. Happy you're starting to make some friends," her mother replied over the sound of an explosion on their TV. Candace slunk up the stairs, took a shower, and laid in bed. She felt both heavy and weightless at the same time. Eventually, she drifted off to a black, dreamless sleep. The next day, she was sitting at her usual spot in the cafeteria. The thought of food made her nauseous. She was glad to not feel spinny and wobbly like she had the night before, but she still didn't feel like herself. The lights in the cafeteria felt bright, and the chatter of the students all around her reminded her of the chaos at Shady's. Tommy sat his tray on the table in front of her and took a seat. "You doing okay?" he asked. "Yeah, I think so. I feel a little nauseous, but after last night, I expected to feel a lot worse." "Good," he said. "I was thinking after I dropped you off last night about what Pop said, about how they need you. I think they want to use you."
"Use me? Use me how?" Candace asked.
"Remember how I said it's all a balance thing?" Tommy leaned in and continued, quieter.
"Some of the people that go to this school are kids of the people who torched Shady's. Some of the teachers at this school were there that night, too. Mr. Davis was in that mob, torch in hand."
Candace didn't quite grasp what he was trying to say.
"Look," Tommy continued, "if things start feeling weird or you start seeing stuff or any of that, you come find me, okay?"
He slid her a piece of paper with his class schedule on it. She tore off a sheet of notebook paper and wrote hers down for him.
"We'll cut out if things get weird, all right?"
he said, looking into her eyes, trying to assure her everything would be okay. She nodded, then she looked down at her tray of food with disgust.
"Do you want any of this?" she asked. "If it sits here any longer, I'm going to throw up."
"Nah," Tommy said. "I'm in the same boat. Food ain't sounding too good right now." Candace stood up with her tray. The large communal trash cans were located at the front of the cafeteria. The table of popular girls sat along the route to them. Candace was always nervous when she had to go to those trash cans. Some days, she'd intentionally pack her lunch and stuff what was left in her lunchbox to dispose of later, just to avoid walking near them. She made it halfway to the cans when one of the girls at the table motioned for her to come over. Candace was caught off guard. It was probably the worst possible time they could have wanted to talk to her, but she didn't want to miss out on the opportunity. She walked over to them and stood at the edge of their table. They were all looking up at her, primped hair and polished nails, judging. Their clothes were clean and pressed, and a few of them had on their boyfriend's varsity jackets. Candace felt sorely out of place. After what happened the night before, she barely had it in her to brush her teeth and run a comb through her hair.
"Great," she thought sarcastically. "To them, I fit right into the whacked-out girlfriend of the bad boy biker persona."
She smoothed out her shirt and smiled.
"Your name's Candy, right?"
one of the girls at the end of the table asked.
"Candace, actually,"
Candace corrected her.
"We like Candy."
"You can call me whatever," Candace replied.
"Just don't call me late for dinner."
She immediately felt dumb for saying that. It was a saying her dad used all the time, and in her slippery mental state, she just blurted out the first thing that came to mind. A few of the girls snickered amongst themselves.
"Right," the girl at the end said. "Look, we need someone to help out tomorrow. In case you didn't hear, I got the lead in the musical. And somebody said you used to do stage stuff or something. We just need, like, some stupid crafty stage stuff. We thought if you weren't busy with your new boyfriend..."
She looked over at Tommy, who was staring at them from across the cafeteria.
"He's not my boyfriend," Candace said.
All of the girls sitting at the table started to giggle. Candace looked over at Tommy. He shook his head and turned his back to them. Candace felt ashamed for a moment. She didn't want Tommy to feel like they were laughing at his expense.
She turned back at the girls and was smacked with a wave of horror. They were giggling and whispering to each other, but they were melting. Just like the waitress at the diner, their flesh was melting off of their faces. One of the girls pointed at her, and the skin on her finger dripped off onto a piece of pizza that sat on the tray in front of her. Another girl's face was dripping onto the front of her boyfriend's varsity jacket. The girl who had been talking to her had charred, wiry hair. The smell of burning flesh and hair filled Candace's nostrils. She felt wavy and even more nauseous. "Well, are you okay?" the girl asked. Her jawbone and exposed teeth protruded from her soupy face, and smoke bellowed from her mouth. Candace began to sweat. She could feel her stomach churn. Then she projectile vomited onto the girl. What came out of her was a thick, black goo. It sprayed the girl and covered her dripping face, along with the front of her clean pink blouse. The cafeteria went silent. Candace looked around and felt everyone's eyes on her. Tommy ran over and stopped a few feet from them. Candace looked back at the girls. They looked normal again. No dripping skin or charred hair. Although what she'd seen was a morbid hallucination, the puke was very real. The girl she'd vomited on sat with her hands up. She had a disgusted and shocked look on her face. "Oh my fucking God," she screamed. I'm so sorry," Candace said. The girl took a napkin and pulled it down her face, wiping away some of the black goo. She stood up, dripping. The girl sitting next to her stood up and grabbed her by the elbow. She said, "Come on, let's get you cleaned up, Jen." Jen stared at Candace, furious. "You're a freak," she spat. "Why don't you and your boyfriend drive off a cliff?" Her friend pulled her away and they stormed off to the bathroom. Tommy grabbed Candace's arm and whispered in her ear, "Let's go." All eyes were on them as Tommy walked with her through the cafeteria and out the back doors of the school. The sunlight felt blinding to Candace. Her nausea subsided, but she felt embarrassed and shocked. "We should cut out," he said. "You're obviously sick or something from Pops doing whatever he did. And I don't think it's a good idea if you..." "I'm fine," Candace interrupted. Tommy looked at her. The dark circles under her eyes and her pale skin were more noticeable in the sunlight. "No offense," he said. "I think you're cute and all, I really do, but right now, you don't look fine." "They asked me to help with some stage design stuff," Candace said. "And if I can maybe apologize for what just happened, well, maybe... maybe they'll..." "Jen won't forgive you for that puke fest," Tommy said. "Trust me. All that broad cares about is her reputation, and I think after that display, she's probably working out the details of her revenge as we speak. You ain't thinking straight anyway. Pops and his crew were getting to you somehow, and all that black shit you puked up, you think that's normal? We gotta get out of here and figure this out." Candace sat for a moment, took some deep breaths. Again, her mind felt pulled apart. The visions, the desire to make friends, and the fog in her head all danced together, creating a waking nightmare. The girls she'd been wanting to talk to for weeks had finally reached out to her, and she ruined everything. Candace felt sorry for Tommy. He wanted to make a new friend, too. He wanted to take her to meet his father. She could tell he felt responsible for everything that was happening. She shook her head a few times. You're right. I'm sorry, Tommy. I need to focus. I don't know what I was thinking. Figuring out this whole thing with Pops is far more important than any stupid stage design thing that the popular girls need me to do." Tommy put a finger under her chin and turned her head toward him. "Hey, it ain't stupid," he said. "We'll figure this all out together and you can still make a new friend." He leaned in and they kissed. And even though she'd just thrown up a black goo, Tommy didn't mind. They lingered in that moment, and briefly, Candace forgot about Tommy's demented ghost of a father playing tricks on her mind. Candace didn't want to open her eyes after that kiss. She didn't want to see Tommy's face melt away. He touched her cheek, and she peeked out of one eye. Tommy's face wasn't dripping.
He helped her to her feet.
We should go, he said. It ain't safe here with Pops, or whatever's controlling Pops, in your head. I can put up with whatever bullshit he throws at me, but it ain't safe for you, or anyone, for you to be at school right now. We gotta figure out what he wants, and if there's some kind of way we can give it to him that isn't at your expense. I got those books I was telling you about. Maybe there's something in there that can stop all this.
They walked to Tommy's motorcycle and strapped on their helmets. Just as Candace was getting on the back, she saw Mr. Davis walk up.
Thomas, he said with calm authority.
Tommy turned and looked at him. His annoyed expression replied, without need for words.
You're about a couple days from being expelled if you keep cutting class like this, he said.
Tommy kicked his motorcycle engine on.
What are you gonna do, Mr. D?
He replied over the roar of his motorcycle.
Burn me alive?
Tommy squealed out of the parking lot with Candace, leaving Mr. Davis in a plume of exhaust.
Thanks so much for checking out the first part of this story. I was trying some new writing techniques and some new methods on this one, and I'm really happy with the direction that it went. I'm really happy with the story that got unearthed as I chipped away at writing it. Keep your eyes peeled for part two. It'll be out sooner than later. If you'd like to support the podcast, there are a bunch of ways you can do so, the first of which is leaving a rating or review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. That really does go a very long way. So if you're on Spotify or Apple Music or YouTube, leave that thumbs up, leave the star, leave the review, whatever you can do in that department really does affect the visibility of this podcast. The next thing you can do is just tell your friends and family that you are enjoying it. Maybe recommend it to them. Send those links around. And last but not least, you can also join my Patreon. There will be a link in the show notes. Or you can go to patreon.com/strangewhispers to get early access to episodes, exclusive content, and a bunch of other stuff over there. Like I said, this was just part one, so stick around for part two. And until then, keep creating.